Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Dear Christian friends, that's exactly what I want to bring to you today, grace and peace. Because though we are Christians, that doesn't mean we go through this life and through our service without struggles. And so today I'm thinking especially of the struggles that come to us, the struggles that we have with regard to all of God's good promises. El Shaddai, God Almighty, has given us good and great promises that He is for us, that He is working for us and through us. And yet, sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we fret. Sometimes we scheme to make these things reality in our own times and in our own ways. Has that ever been your experience? Because I know it's mine. Take my call here to the seminary as an example. I was really quite content in Michigan, probably too content as I look back. I loved my call to teach at Concordia in Ann Arbor. Now, no job is perfect, of course, but I wasn't looking to leave. I really loved what I was doing. I was living also near my parents and my sister and other relatives after having been gone from the area for quite a long time. And my wife, Gretchen, was near her youngest brother and some of her relatives. We had a decent home, a decent town. We had a wonderfully faithful church. We had good friends. And we were living near our children who are on that verge of becoming adults for themselves and doing their own thing. What a wonderful thing for a middle-aged parent to be near their children who are trying to adult. And COVID struck, making a mess of so many things in all of our lives. But one blessing for us was that for once, for the first time in many years, all six of us were under that one roof, living together, weathering the storm together, and that was a joy. And then came the call. A call to come and serve and teach here. God, what are you thinking? Now, 20 years ago, if that call had come, what a joy that would have been. How eager I would have been. I might have even schemed and worked to make it all happen in my time and my way. But now, God, really? Given everything, how things are going and giving what's going on, right now we should pack up and move. We should give up this call to Concordia Ann Arbor. We should give up being with our friends, our family, our church. We should leave our colleagues behind. Really? But as my wife and I became more convinced that this call was the right thing, then the scheming set in. COVID's happening. Many of us are online. Maybe the seminary will be online. Maybe I can teach there from here in Michigan, at least for a while. Right? That was my plan. But we're not online. So here I am. And I'm enjoying my new colleagues, and I love entering into the scriptures with you, my students. But I still have days when I ask, God, what are you doing with me here? What did you have in mind? That's me, but does that in any way resonate with you? Does it sound familiar in things that you've gone through in your lives? You students are from all over the place. You come from all kinds of situations, all kinds of backgrounds, and you've come here and you've entered into this rigorous course of studies. maybe 2 years in, you're wondering, what is God doing with me here? Maybe it was 2 weeks or 2 days, or maybe it was 2 hours into summer Greek. God, is this really your plan for me? I remember when my wife and I were here, especially hearing from some of the seminary wives, yeah, they were here, they came because, well, this is where your husband had to go if he was going to be trained to be a pastor. But those women had fully planned out the rest of their pastor husband's career, if you will. They were going back home or somewhere near home. This is how it was going to work out, and they had happily ever after planned in their minds. It would go according to their plan. Sometimes we, the very people of God, have trouble trusting in God. Even though he's made these good and great promises to us, that he's working for us and even through us. And you know, we're not alone. It doesn't take too much effort to find in the scriptures people in the scriptures who were very much like us in this regard. And today we think of Abraham and Sarah. Now I'm going to ask you to imagine with me, imagine a heavenly conversation taking place sometime recently between God and Abraham as Abraham and you and I and all wait the consummation. Remember, we're imagining here, imagining to make a point. I'm going to portray God as a rather relational and even jovial God, a God who likes to laugh. And yes, I know in the Old Testament, if you want to find God laughing, yeah, you look to the Psalms, and this is not a good thing. I'll let you look that up for yourselves later. Start in Psalm 2. But that's not the only picture we have of God. And that same Hebrew word is used in Proverbs 8 when divine wisdom laughs or rejoices over the inhabited world. And so I have some textual basis for my God who is relational and laughs. So I'm asking you to imagine with me this conversation between, yes, the God who we see in his splendor and glory as portrayed in Revelation, but who is also relational and conversational as we see in the garden in Genesis and as we see in Proverbs 8 and elsewhere. So keep that in mind. And then I think it's not too much of a stretch to imagine this conversation, which, as I've recorded it, turns mostly into a monologue. And so God says to Abraham, "Who's laughing now, Abraham? Do you remember when you laughed at me? I had just made such great and good promises to you. I appeared to you. I announced myself to you as El Shaddai, that name that I always used when I was promising children and descendants. And I made my covenant with you. I assured you that my covenant was with you and that you would be the father of many nations. In fact, Abraham, I took your name Abram, mighty father, and I changed it to Abraham, father of many nations, so that every time someone spoke to you and called you by name, you'd remember this covenant. And I repeated myself numerous times, telling you how fruitful that you would be, how I established my covenant with you and with your offspring, an everlasting covenant. I mentioned your offspring repeatedly that day. And even though those Lutherans who follow the LSB lectionary ignore this fact, as I gave this covenant to you, I also gave you a sign of the covenant, circumcision, so that you could not possibly go through much of a day without being reminded of this covenant into which I had drawn you. And I reinforced what I was saying by making these same promises when I talked about your wife, Sarai, whose name I changed to Sarah, the princess through whom would come nations and even kings. And what did you do, Abraham? You laughed at me. Who's laughing now, Abraham? And Sarah laughed too, do you remember that? I told you exactly what was going to happen within the year, a son to come from you and your wife, Sarah. Sarah, though old and dry, yes, she would give birth to your son. I even told you to name him Isaac. Laughter. And when I reiterated this promise, the Oaks of Mamre, do you remember? She overheard me. And what did she do? She's a lot like you, Abraham. She laughed at me. Oh, Father Abraham, who's laughing now? I took you from Ur and took you to Haran. I made great promises to you, promises that I would make your name great. I told you I would make you into a great nation. And I told you that through you, all the families of the earth would be blessed. I promised to be at work for you and through you. And what did you do? Yeah, you doubted me. You doubted my words. You thought I was untrue. You were impatient. You thought you were going to have to follow that general custom of appointing your servant as your heir. So you thought it was going to be Eliezer because I hadn't provided your son yet. And so, Abram, what did I do? I in that night covenant ceremony, I made it perfectly clear to you that this would be a covenant with your own son, not a servant. Do you remember what I said? I said, look at the stars and count them as if you are able to do that. Such will be your descendants, your offspring. And I promised the land to that offspring. And in this instance, you believed me. And what did you do? Oh, Abram, you and Sarah continued to doubt me. You thought you had to do it in your own time and in your own way. So instead of a servant as your heir, Sarah gave you her servant that you could bring forth a child through her. And you did, and you have Ishmael. But Ishmael is not the child whom I have promised to you. And so I came to you as El Shaddai, God Almighty, making more promises to you, clear and precise promises. And I gave you the sign of circumcision. And what did you do? You laughed at me. And you asked me to do things your way. You wanted me to continue through Ishmael. Oh, Abraham, who's laughing now? In all of this, I was at work for you and through you, even though while believing, yet you doubted because you just couldn't see it. All along, Abraham, I was faithful. I was laughing when Isaac was born, when Isaac came forth from Sarah's womb, and she rejoiced in laughter too. Laughter that I had given to both of you. You see, Abraham, I told you this would all happen. Look who's laughing now. And from Isaac, I gave you Jacob, and with Jacob, 12 more sons. And I made them into a great and a numerous nation, a great people. And I worked through Joseph to rescue this people from famine. And I worked through Levi's line, through Aaron and Moses, to rescue this great and mighty people from Egypt. And from Judah, I brought forth David, a king. From Abraham and Sarah, a nation and a king. and more kings, Solomon and all the Judahite kings after him. Who's laughing now, Abraham? And when the kingship seemed to have come to an end, I brought forth the king, your son, David's son, my son, just as I said I would. He didn't seem like much of a king, and for the most part, he wasn't recognized or treated as a king, but he came with my kingdom. He came calling out, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so it was in and through him. Your son, David's son, my son, he is the one in whom all families of the world are blessed. You see, Abraham, I kept my promises. I fulfill my covenants. Through all of this, I was at work for you and through you to bring about what I promised. This kingly son allowed himself to be torn, raised on a cross, and lowered into a tomb, carrying the sins of the peoples of the world with him. Your sin too, Abraham, into the grave, and by his blood you have been healed. You have been forgiven. And this same son rose victoriously as king and now reigns just as I said. And this son, he's going to return at the right time and make all things new. But in the meantime, this son of yours and mine, he's still at work carrying out these great and wonderful promises as he works through his church, calling the nations to himself, blessing them in the forgiveness of their sins, giving to them life and salvation. Yes, Abraham, your seed, your offspring of the promises that I made, like the sand of the sea and the stars of the heavens, and still growing as I continue to fulfill my promises through our son and through his church. Isn't that amazing, Abraham? But you just couldn't see it. And so you laughed at me. You doubted. You schemed, but that is forgiven. And now you can see how I had a hand in it all the way through, what I was doing as I was faithful to you and through you in the promises that I made, working out this great salvation. And there's still more to come. Yes, Abraham, I'm laughing, but not at you and not in a bad way. Abraham, I am rejoicing in laughter, and I'm glad that we can look back and rejoice and laugh together and delight in what is yet to come. Thus far, the conversation of heaven. You see, El Shaddai, God Almighty, was truly faithful to and through Abraham and Sarah, even in their doubts, even in spite of all the worldly ways that they tried to work out things for themselves on their own timeline. El Shaddai, God Almighty, is also faithful to you and to me, and yes, through you and through me. Now, to be sure, it's not exactly the same. God has not promised all the exact same things to you. He's not promised to make your name great or to promise you certain offspring at a certain time or that you'll have descendants like the sand or the stars. No, these promises were made to Abraham as God worked to, for, and through Abraham to bring about yet an even earlier promise, a promise he made to restore his rebellious creation to himself. And these things he has done for Abraham and through Abraham and his son, Jesus the Christ. And you and I, we are the recipients of all of the benefits and blessings of God carrying through on these promises. You and I are part of all the families of the earth blessed through Abraham and his offspring. By faith, we are sons of Abraham, Abraham's offspring, and heirs according to the promise. So no, it's not exactly the same for us as it was for Abraham. But God has indeed called you in your baptism. He's given you a new name, his name. He's claimed you. He's given you the gift of faith. He's forgiven your sins, even these sins of doubt and scheming. And he sent you on a mission. His mission, the mission of his son, the mission of his church. As a Christian, as Pastor Thompson reminded us on Wednesday, you are a witness. Every Christian, a witness to the death and resurrection of Christ. You see, God is at work for you, and God is at work through you. And beyond that, some of us have been called into public ministry, and some of you are training, most of you are training for that very call, a ministry of proclaiming the great and good promises of God. And as we live this life of Christian witness, as we prepare for this life of public ministry, even as we live the office of the public ministry, well, sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we fight and we scheme to have it our way at our own times. But through it all, God is at work in Christ Jesus, keeping his promises to you and through you. It's hard to see it while you're living it, but it's true. And we can see it so clearly and take comfort as we look back and see how God has done this for Abraham and Sarah and countless others before us. Yeah, sometimes we struggle. But we find grace and peace as we see our faithful God in action, faithful to Abraham, faithful to Sarah, faithful to so many others, faithful in Christ Jesus to us, and yes, even through us. And so we trust that this faithful God who has displayed his faithfulness will continue to be faithful to us and through us. In that I find grace and peace. I trust that you can too. Now may the grace and peace of God, which pass all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We rise.